It's great to have you here as we start a brand new week together on God Is. This month, we have settled into the first chapter of the book of John. I've challenged you to read and reread that chapter 30 times, and many of you have done so. Thus far, we have both read and discussed verses 1 through 13 and verse 18. We have discovered the truth about who God is from Jesus Christ. As we learn right at the start of John, Jesus is God. And so if we really want to understand who God is, then we have to know Jesus intimately and personally. Jesus has been sent from God into the world to teach us about God the Father. Do you know Jesus? The very best way to get to know him is by reading the first four books of the Bible's New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You can pick up at any place in those four books, and you will immediately begin to encounter God. I've simply chosen John as our starting point. At the end of John chapter 1 and verse 18, we read this, "He has explained him." And we said that this means that Jesus has explained God. If we want to have God explained to us, then we must meet Jesus. Have you been introduced to him? That is what I have wanted to do in the month of December, and now we have only this week before we come to Christmas Day. So let's get started on another verse in John 1. And this verse is arguably one of the most important verses in all of the Bible. I am speaking of John chapter 1 and verse 14. John 1:14 reads, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." We're going to divide this sentence into four parts and look at each one in some depth this week. Beginning today, I encourage you to memorize this verse. If you'll do so, by the time we get to Christmas Day, you will be able, in one sentence, to understand for yourself and pass along to others the meaning of Christmas. This is valuable for you to do because this verse is the definitive statement on Christmas. Everything else wilts in comparison to the truth. Jesus is God in human flesh. So, how shall we divide the verse for easy understanding? Let's put it in four parts. Part one is, "And the Word became flesh." And the Word became flesh. Part two is, "Dwelt among us." Part three is, "And we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father." And finally, part four is, "Full of grace and truth." Consider part one with me, if you would. "And the Word became flesh." Well, if you've been listening along to this broadcast over the last few weeks, then you know who the Word is. John uses the term "the Word" to describe Jesus Christ. We first came to understand this way back at John chapter 1 and verse 1. Let me reread that for you. This is John 1 and verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." At that time, I said that we can accurately read this verse as, "In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God." So whenever in John we read "the Word," capital W, we know that he means Jesus Christ. Back to verse 14. Jesus then became flesh. And you see, Jesus has to become flesh because Jesus was not always flesh. Jesus pre-existed. He is God, and so Jesus existed before the beginning, described in John 1, verse 1, and in Genesis 1, verse 1, in the first chapter of the whole Bible. But Jesus did not pre-exist in human flesh. He only becomes a man with his birth in Bethlehem long after the world that he created is underway. You could think of it this way. In Jesus, God shows himself. God reveals himself. God unveils who he is to us in a way that we can understand. God becomes a human being. God becomes like us to show us who he is. The next two words in the sentence, "became" and "flesh," describe this great act of God towards us. The word "became" here is really important because a reasoning person might ask, so when Jesus became man, did that mean that he gave up being God? Good question. And the answer is no. When Jesus became a person, he did not give up being God. Jesus is always both, fully God and fully man. He is the only person that will ever be both God and man. And what is blow your mind away amazing is that Jesus is God and man at the same time. I say blow your mind away because the human mind cannot comprehend what I just said. I personally believe it, but I have a very difficult time comprehending this truth. Because Jesus is completely unique in this regard. Literally, there's no one like him. He doesn't exchange God for man. He is God in a man's body. I think the writer of Hebrews described this truth about Jesus perfectly. Hebrews is another book of the Bible, close to the end of the New Testament. Listen, if you would, to a passage that will be very familiar to Christians listening. This is Hebrews 13, verse 8. Hebrews 13, 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And that's exactly right. Jesus has always been God yesterday. Jesus is God today. And Jesus will be God forever. Jesus does not cease to be God when he is man. Oh, how you must know this about Jesus Christ. It's such a thrilling way to begin the week together. Jesus became flesh, but he did not cease to be God. Now, just to review so that you stick with me, we're reading John 1 and verse 14, and today we're discovering what the first part of the verse means. Part 1 is, the Word became flesh. And that word, flesh, the final word we'll talk about today, describes Jesus' physical being. Jesus is man. He has flesh, eyes, ears, nose and mouth, hair, arms, fingers, legs, feet and toes. Jesus' body had all of the internal organs your body has. If you're a man, then Jesus had all of the same sex organs that you and I have. Jesus had a brain and a spine and a heart and blood that ran a circuit all throughout his body, just as blood does in our bodies today. He took on flesh. He pulled on flesh, even to the point where he's born of a woman. In other words, Jesus came into this world the same way we did. He came out of Mary's womb and burst on the scene crying and yearning for the touch and milk of his mother. So did you, so did I, because you are human, and I am human, and Jesus was human. That's what human beings do. Now, you might be thinking, okay, got it, but do not pass over this too quickly, particularly if you have heard this your whole life in church or in your home or school. Maybe your pastor is preaching this again at Christmas for the 1,000th time. Perhaps you've been following Christ many years, and you find my teaching too basic thus far. Well, we should never find this boring, because this first part of John 1, verse 14, also says something profound about us. This speaks not only of Jesus, but it speaks of us. And it's this: Jesus lived in human flesh just like us, but Jesus did not use his flesh like we use ours. Jesus lived in human flesh like us, but Jesus did not use his flesh like we use ours. Let me personalize this and tell you about my flesh. What do I use my flesh for? I use it to sin. Just this past week, I was beginning to feel overwhelmed and overcome with a small but vocal group of people who've been pushing back on some teaching that I've been providing to young people just emerging early in their careers. As I grew discouraged, I began to personalize some of the criticism, and my frustration was building below the surface. Soon I was steaming, and then flat out boiling, and this raised my temper. I recognized that I was about to sin in anger, so I took to my journal and just began writing out what was bothering me. Every day I engaged the Holy Spirit of God and asked him to give me the strength, perseverance, and determination to overcome my sinful flesh. I have to depend on the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome what? My body, my flesh. In my example, I required God to deal with my anger. There was a way to respond to these folks, but expressing anger towards them was not that way. Thankfully, as the Spirit dealt with my flesh, I resisted sin. Now, on the occasions when sin gets the better of me, I need to ask God for forgiveness. Time and time again, when I come to Jesus for the forgiveness of my sin, I'm talking to him about some sin that I have done in the flesh. And when you confess your sin to Christ, aren't you talking with him about sins that you've done in your flesh? However, although Jesus lived in human flesh just like us, Jesus did not use his flesh like we use ours. I think of Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21 says, "He made Jesus who knew no sin." Jesus knew no sin. Jesus never sinned. And so while Jesus lived in the flesh, just like you and me, he did not use his flesh to sin. Jesus mastered his flesh. Jesus controlled his flesh so that he never, ever sinned. Oh, how I want to be like Jesus. But there is that pesky, sinful flesh. John 1:14 starts, "And the Word, Jesus, became flesh." And this is really great news for us. Because Jesus came in the flesh, we are able to overcome our flesh. And we are going to see how we are able to do this as we move along. Not just this week, but as we move along into the year 2018. Well, I have to end there for today, but please be here tomorrow as we continue with part one of John chapter 1 and verse 14, and then we're going to move on to part two. So please come back and join me tomorrow for God Is.